The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
Ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers sweeps the left. Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up! Shane Farrell! And Chelsea 2-0!
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery! Oh. Into the back of the net! That is what champions do! That is what winners do! Pearl Slattery!
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes! Goal! Shelburne lead!
His cross sticks the biggest!
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute
and yeah! It's an over! Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we're brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. A special guest this week, the team he was involved in has a special, special place and a lot of red hearts. And it was a night nobody will ever forget. He's now working alongside the club in a fantastic, fantastic course that's been run out of Swords. We're going to get into all that. We'll get into all the details of the course, how it's run. We'll get into 2019. I promised people who heard he was coming on that I would talk about 2019. I couldn't possibly ignore it. Jason McGuinness, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem. So look, it's on the 2019 thing just at the start. I don't think we haven't really heard much of 2019. Obviously, the way Ian left the club in the end, and we kind of didn't really get a chance to reminisce on it. So we will. We'll reminisce a little bit today. I'm sure you're more than happy to talk about it as well. But before that, the main event and the real reason you're on here, you at the moment are running the football coaching and sporting events diploma. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, as we're all aware, the club are trying to really grow both on and off the pitch. And one of the key pillars for the club is getting into the community. So that's where we're kind of based. We're based out in the Fingal direction. We're running a soccer coaching and sporting events business administration diploma there out in the ALSA club. So it's QQI level 4. It's been absolutely fantastic to be involved in it. I'm very grateful to the club for giving me the opportunity to come on board and run this course. My previous experience would have been running one of these courses for the FEI in Clondalkin there, but this one is quite different from that in terms of where on the FEI ones, there's a lot of soccer coaching involved. Whereas this, you kind of do learn to become a coach and run a sporting organisation. So it's been fantastic and I've got a lot of job satisfaction from it in terms of seeing learners go on and achieve good things. But I have to say, the club is really, really on board with this. They really want to make it work and grow because they see the value of it. And as I said, Shelburne are building not only on the pitch, but off the pitch. So this is an important pillar for the club.
How did it come about? How did you find yourself in the role? I know you say that you have experience of running the FEI course in Clondalkin. Anyone involved in football in the country, in Dublin especially, would know of the course in Clondalkin. How did it come about that you ended up within the club? Was it from your previous role or how did it happen?
Yeah, at the time I was assistant manager at Shelburne in 2019 and I was combining my job in the FEI and my role with Shells. Basically, I seen it come about and I fancied a change, really. It's quite different where I do a lot more kind of tutoring on this course, whereas primarily on the FEI when I was a coach. So this was a real good challenge for me. Personally, I'm into that. I'm into personal growth and stuff like that. So this was really, really a great challenge. And at the time, me and your brother, another Shells man, Paul, the both of us went in there. And Paul has since left. He's gone on to other roles within the ETB. But Yeah, that's how it came about. I just fancied a real change, and I'm really delighted I've made that change.
Just there, you mentioned, and we're just trying to give people as much information on the course as we can, because sometimes when you see these things pop up online, they can be a bit daunting, and it's a bit, you know, I've been in the position myself. Maybe if you're out of work or that, you're kind of going, oh, I don't know, is it something I would or wouldn't be into? But you mentioned there the ETB, and do you want to just tell us kind of what the ETB is and the kind of opportunities it can give you?
Yeah, it's in conjunction with the ETB. That's the Education Training Board. So whatever qualifications you get, they're recognised around the world. They're QQI recognised qualifications. And some of the modules we'll do on it is IT skills. You learn how to deliver a PowerPoint presentation, how to design a presentation, and teamworking is another module. We do a module called customer service. And the big one, I find what a lot of people are getting benefit from it, is the career planning module, where they're kind of working on their CVs and building up their CV with qualifications. And then you throw in the popular soccer coaching module, it basically gets people on the ladder if they're interested in coaching. But not a lot of people know that this course is out there. So that's why primarily I'm on this call, really. I know you'll want to talk about the 2019 season, but for me, we're trying to make people aware that this course is out there for absolutely everybody. You don't have to have a background in sport. It's nice if you do, but we have current learners on our course now who have no interest in sport at all, but they're interested in getting some of the qualifications because they're really transferable to other industries, and we have great connections with the club. I mean, we're connected to TU Dublin. Some of our learners on the course had no interest. I know we spoke just before we came online here about skill. It wasn't for me, and some of our learners come on the course and think skill's not for me. This is not like skill. This is really, really different. You're going to be working on modules that, you know, are exciting. They're really going to stand to you when you go into your professional life. We'll open up different doors for you in terms of going down toward level education. But the big thing as well, and you get paid for this course. There's a training allowance for coming on board with this course. It's a full-time course. You get a lot of chances to network on this course. I mean, different people come in every other week to do guest speakers. I mean, tomorrow, for example, we're going up to TU Blanche for a tour around the college. The week after that, we have another guest speaker coming in. So learners are really, really benefiting from it. In terms of last year, we had four or five lads on it. There was one lad called Narcissus. He had no idea what he wanted to do in life. He was a bit disappointed, I mean, and he was frustrated. He was looking at his friends going off doing apprentices. He didn't know what he wanted to do. So what he basically did was use that year to kind of figure out what he wanted to do, build up his connections and network. And he's gone on to get a good job. I think he's gone on to Joe Duffy Motors. He's a car salesman there, and he's really, really happy. But if it wasn't for this course setting him up for the interview and using that time apart to figure out what he wanted to do, because he was in such a rush and he sensed a lot of frustration from him, but he figured it out in the end. Whereas another learner, Philip Powell, he's gone on, he was quite, you know, a mature student. He went on to TU Blanche. He's doing a 3-year degree out there now. Well, also, he's working as a coach, having gained some of his coaching qualifications on this course. So it's fantastic for people of any capacity that don't know what they want to do, they're interested in sport. This could be used as a year for those people to kind of figure it out, build up their CV, gain confidence in certain areas. And, you know, it's a great idea by the club. I can't let this go on any further without giving John McGowan a special mention. He won't thank me for this, but he's been behind this from day one. He's kind of my link to the club. He's on to me every week. What do we need? How do we grow this course? He's been the real driving force behind this course. We're very lucky to have him. The club are very lucky to have him. Keith McDarby, the commercial director, he comes in every semester and does a little chat on his role in the club and opens up people's eyes to what the other side of sport is about getting sponsorships in. And Keith is only too happy to bring people on his journey with him and offer them some work experience in around the club. So it's really beneficial. And as I keep stressing, it's open to absolutely everybody. If you're any way interested in improving or you're not sure what you want to do, reach out to us and we'll map out a plan for you. the club are fully on board with this. It's an amazing opportunity for people just to kind of upscale as well.
Yeah, it sounds from the outside looking in a very kind of well-rounded course. Like, there's kind of something for everyone there. Like, as you mentioned, look, if you have an interest in coaching, it probably helps. But there you go, you're mentioning the lad last year who went on and now he's working in Joe Duffy Motors. So, like, just because you come into a sports course or a coaching course doesn't necessarily mean that's where you're going to end up. But I've learned that myself from courses I've done. Sometimes just that year of a certain kind of environment, as you've mentioned there, it seems like a good environment to be in, you know, especially for, I've seen in the past, for school leavers, like, sometimes they're very used to being babied, if you like, in school. Yeah. And would I be right in saying,
absolutely,
it's not a school environment, it's different.
Not. And that's the big thing we find with lads and girls coming on. They're closed off to it. I think school wasn't a nice experience for me. And we're going to say to them, hang on a minute, this is not like school. Some of the skills you're going to be learning here are really, really transferable to other industries. So I mentioned there the IT skills. We had a learner last year who, you know, was struggling on the IT side of things. You should see him setting up a PowerPoint presentation now. He recently done an interview to get a job at the Liverpool Academy over in Singapore. And he gained those skills on this course. The confidence to be able to get up in front of your peers and deliver a PowerPoint presentation. You know, there's so many successful stories from these courses. I just, you know, I'd urge anyone if they're not sure what they want to do, and they reach out. Let's discuss a plan. We'll help you. That's what the club is there for. And I mentioned John McGowan earlier. We always discuss past learners, and when we first met them coming onto the course, we get such job satisfaction from seeing them go on to, you know, develop their career, and they're quick enough to get back in touch with us and say, listen, thanks very much to Shelbourne for giving me that kind of point me in the right direction and upskilling and basically rebuilding your confidence, because it's such a fun environment. The learners love it. They come in every day. They get a laptop. They get the full Shelbourne gear. Now, they hound me for Shelbourne tickets every week. They've become real fans. So you can see the benefits of this course for the club from a club point of view. They're gaining more supporters out. I mean, the club, the lads are looking to get out early every Friday to get ready for a match. You know, when we've away match in Cork, we've got a problem because we've got to let them off a little bit earlier to try and get to this match. But it's great. They're really finding themselves, and it's a positive environment full of like-minded people and good influence. So it's a full credit to Shelbourne again for being able to not just focus on football, but they're making a good impact on young people's lives here. So it's great. It's great in that sense.
And that has definitely been something from a club end that we've lacked in as long as I can remember following Shells, that really getting into the community and trying to build something that's not just 90 yeah. minutes on a Friday night, or it's not just 90 minutes on a Saturday afternoon. It's bigger than that, you know, it's more important. There's more to the club than just that 90 minutes. And just again, you've mentioned John a couple of times. John McGowan, everyone will know him when you see him. You may not be able to put the face to the name, but when you see John, you will know exactly who he is. He's always around the dugout on a match day. John is the most approachable fella you're ever going to meet. So don't be afraid to put questions out there to John. As I say, he could not be more helpful if he tried. So don't be afraid to get out there and put yourself out. So on, you mentioned there that it's open to everybody. Does that literally, Jay, mean everybody, school leavers, if you're out of work?
Absolutely. Yeah, of all, from 17 upwards. Listen, as I said, the club are there. They want to, you know, I've done this job for between FEI and Shells for a good 7 years now. We use sport as a tool to help people progress in their lives. Like, a lot of people love sport. So Shelbourne recognise that sport can be used as a tool to kind of help people in all areas of their life. And that's what they've done. You mentioned there, it's not just about 90 minutes. Shelbourne are creating a real identity for themselves on and off the pitch. They're making an impact in the community, people's lives, on the pitch. It's exciting times for the club because they recognise, as I said, it's not just a game. They're building a club. And a lot of people in the background, they probably left a few people out. But as I said, the club are fully on board with this, and they've been great help to me. They reach out to me all the time. What do you need? How do we help you? How do we grow this course? Darren, our social media, he's kind of pushed it for us. You might have seen it around the club. Really great people involved in the club and good people who want to make a difference. And that's where it's gone. So it's exciting times.
And I need to correct myself at the start. I mentioned that it's based out in Swords. That was previous. So I will correct that now. You're based out of Alta, you said. Straight away when you said Alta, the first thing I thought of was it's so accessible. Absolutely. Like anything that goes to the airport is going to Alta. So it's easy to get to if you're not a driver or anything like that. Don't worry about that end of it. It's one of the more accessible places to get to. So what does a normal day-to-day, I know you mentioned there that like next week you're out in Tiu Blanche and you kind of try and get out a little bit. I know you've done tours of Tolka before, that type of thing. But what does a kind of standard day on the course look like?
Yeah, we'll kick off the week. We'll get cracking on. The most important thing, what really funds this course, is how many people come away with QQI qualifications. So that's our bread and butter. So we usually kick off on a Monday with, say, teamwork and module. We'll do some tutoring on that. And basically, we'll tease out what basically teamworking is and how it can be transferable to a working environment. We'll do questions. They have answer books to fill out, assessment packs to get cracking on that. They really enjoy it because there's good interaction. You know, I kind of engage the learners as much as I can on their experiences, and I find that's a good way of helping our learners understand what's going on rather than just sitting there listening to me or whoever else tutoring, nodding their heads. We actually try to engage them. We'll have a bit of lunch. We'll go off then. We'll do some soccer coaching out on the pitches, or we could do some ICT skills, working on PowerPoint presentations. We'll give them a topic to go and study, learn more about. I know a couple of our lads have done a topic on, say, Shelbourne, because it's an area of interest of theirs. They talk about where the club has come from and where it's gone, and they're able to put a nice PowerPoint presentation together. And they're learning all those skills, and the difference in their confidence is great. So that's what a day would look like for us. Wednesday, we usually try and do soccer coaching and get people as many qualifications as we can. We had our colleagues in from the FEI for there a couple of weeks ago. They'd done a disability workshop with us. Our lads got that qualification. They went off and put their skills to the test. And so that's a typical week for us. Lectures in the morning, bit of lunch, working on our IT skills, working on our soccer coaching. And then we go on. There's an added qualification being added to a VTCT business diploma. It's level 3. And again, it's quite relevant to all type of jobs and businesses. You're just picking up on your presentations, picking up on how to conduct a meeting, and learners get loads from it. It's really beneficial, and it helps you in real life. That's the biggest thing I can say about that.
I was lucky enough myself. I've done a course similar, going back a few years now, make myself sound a bit old, but there's an awful lot of, I found, life experience to get out of courses like this. You mentioned the disability workshop there. I done sat through one of those workshops, and it was one of the most eye-opening things I think I've sat down and participated in. It would change the way you look at things. It would change the way you look at people. It would change the way you look at yourself. You talked about personal development at the start of this and growing. You'll grow as a person on the course as well. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, listen, there's the difference in some of our learners from when they first came on to now. Like, that disability workshop is amazing. It makes you a more well-rounded coach, because you're looking at it again. We all like to coach and think we can help children become on great footballers. But as I mentioned earlier on, football can be used as a great tool to help people gain confidence and have fun and make good friends from the sport. So I think we forget that when we're coaching, that we have a duty to understand that you don't know what's going on in anyone's life. We have a duty to kind of create the best environment for these people, for learners, whoever wants to become them, whoever you're going to be coaching, that this is a good, enjoyable experience. And that's exactly what this course is about as well. So it does prepare you for life skills. I mentioned earlier on the career planning module, and that will be based around interviews and interview techniques. I mean, they're not a nice experience. I've had a few of them over the years. You know, I think everyone will kind of say that they can be quite nerve-wracking, but we kind of do a lot of that on this course and kind of help you prepare for that. And we do skills demonstrations on it. We are recorded doing an interview and you can reflect back. Reflection is a key tool for learning. So you can look back and check on your performance in a non-pressure environment and see where you can improve. And hopefully that'll help you gain further employment.
You mentioned there as well the qualifications at the end. How are those qualifications gained, Jay? Is it an exam-based thing? Is it a continual assessment? How does that work out?
Yeah, it's a continuous assessment. I feel that's the best way for exams. I'm currently doing a master's myself now, and that's continuous assessments where you're not on the final day, the nerves kick in, and it's like, oh my God, I had an off day, and you'll be judged on that one day. It's not like that on this course. You'll be assessed over the course of the whole year, and then all your work will be put together and corrected that way. So listen, our job is to try and get you qualified, get you those qualifications, not put you in a stressful situation where you're kind of, you know, people don't respond to final day exams. So it's definitely not like that at all. It's continuous assessment. You're working at your own pace. And as I said, it's your job to try and help you as best we can achieve those qualifications in a non-stressful way, because I know myself, I don't really take well to final exams, that type of scenario. So continuous assessment for me is a great way of delivering these courses. I'm all in all, we get a large portion of people over the line on these courses. Basically, if you apply yourself to the course, the lads, they usually pass.
Yeah, it's important to stress on that point as well that nothing is handed to you. You know, you'll get out of it what you put into it. Even, I'd say, as far as like the network and all that kind of stuff, if you're willing to go in, put your bit of work in, you'll get more than enough out of it. Just, you mentioned your master's there, Jay. What's your master's in?
Yeah, I'm doing a master's in elite performance in sport in DCU there. I'm really enjoying it. I wanted to go back to college for a long time, so I'm finally gone back and done it now, and it's the best thing I ever did. So I think I'm in a good position to be able to speak to some of our young lads on our course and talk to them about education and try to be that positive role model to those young learners, because, you know, for me, as I mentioned earlier on, school just wasn't for me for one reason or another, but I'm absolutely loving what I'm doing now in DCU. It's a real good course. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing, and I'm passing on as much as I can to our learners on the course. So it's been enjoyable. I'm mixing both.
You've mentioned there as well a couple of times about the on-pitch, the coaching part of it. How does that work? Is it, do you coach among the group? Do outside groups come in? How does that kind of work out?
Basically, you're learning from scratch how to put together a session planner. And then once you get the grips with all that, I'm a qualified coach myself. I have recently completed my UEFA Elite UD license, so I'm able to pass on some knowledge to how to get over the line on this soccer coaching module. So you'll spend a portion of your time doing up a soccer coaching module. The topic might be dribbling or passing. It's quite basic, just getting your foot on the ladder. And then in the afternoon, you could go out and do some skills demonstrations amongst your colleagues and peers in a fun environment. There's no real pressure, because we understand it's your first step on the ladder for that. And a lot of people have gone on to kind of say, yeah, this coaching business, I really like it. It's something I want to explore further. And they've gone on and got more qualifications in it. So yeah, it's just basically a real introduction to coaching and how to structure a session plan out. Or if you're coaching under 7 to 12 years of age kids. So yeah, that's the nuts and bolts of the soccer coaching module.
So as well as we've covered the course, and I mean, if I could go now and do the course, I probably won't jump on. You've made it sound very, very appealing, in fairness. How do people go about applying?
You can go through the club website. There's lots of details on the club website, but how you actually register your interest is on fetchcourses.ie. You'll go into the search engine on fetchcourses.ie, type in Shelbourne, and it'll lead you straight to it. You just press apply, and that'll just register your interest. And if it's for you, great. If not, it'd be nice just to put your interest in there and explore. So yeah, reach out to the club. My myself, my email, jason.mcguinness@shelburnefc.ie. As I said, there's posters plastered all over Talca. We're on social media. You'll find out more details there. Reach out to somebody in the club and they'll put you in touch with myself and we'll start the process from there. So it's really quite easy to navigate to.
Yeah, when we put the podcast out, the podcast will go out this evening, that's speaking on Wednesday. So we'll put all those links in there that you need. We'll put Jason's email address. We'll put whatever you need will be in wherever you find our podcast. So we'll make it as easy as we possibly can for you to find. Jay, more on you. Let's put the spotlight on you a little bit.
Uh-oh.
No, don't worry. No. It's not that type of podcast.
I'm
2019, look, that was your introduction to the club in that assistant manager role. You obviously came in with Ian Morris. How did it happen? How did it come about? Because it was a little bit, the appointment of Morrow was a bit left field at the time. And then don't think it's unfair to say probably when you were announced the assistant, it was probably I didn't see that one coming.
Well, I played with Morrow at Pat's. We had a short spell there together and we'd done our B license together as well, and we had a good relationship and we always kind of kept in touch. And I got a phone call out Morrow out of the blue one night saying, you know, I'm about to get in the Shell's job, do you fancy it? And it didn't take much of a conversation from there on in, you know. It was an amazing opportunity for me. So that's how it came about. And true, playing with Morrow, that's how we got involved in it. Network.
And it was just, did it come that much out of the blue? Like there was no kind of, like you hadn't been discussing anything with other clubs before, and it literally just, the phone call rang and you probably said, what is he ringing me for?
Do you know, I'd done my bit of coaching. I kind of wanted to get on and do my coaching without skipping any steps. I started at Crumlin. I went on to Kevin's. I'd done 2 years there. I went to Maynooth University as a coach and I became the head coach there. I went to Bray 19s and then I went to Bray assistant manager. But for one reason or another, things didn't. Bray were in a bit of a difficult situation. And then I felt it was the next step for me progression as a coach going to the fourth division. And usually them jobs do come about like that. An ex-colleague, an ex-teammate picks up the phone and says, do you fancy it? And it was really quite as simple as that. And I jumped on it. I was at first thinking, geez, what a big chance for me as a coach and massive club, good fan base, huge history. I couldn't wait to get going on it. So, yeah, I snapped his hand off and off we went.
And was that a kind of a role that you are happy in, that assistant role? Like, you said that you'd had a bit of experience at it with Bray. It's not for everyone, that role. I know that from experience. Some people just are not made to be an assistant manager. Were you happy with the role? Like, were you on the pitch coaching as well? Or how did the kind of role work out?
Well, to be fair, tomorrow let me do the majority of the coaching. You know, that's the role of a coach. I understand my role as assistant manager. I love it. I love working on the pitch. You know, trying drills and working on plans and working with players on the pitch every single day. You know, that's what coaching's about. That's what you do all your badges. You know, you love that. You can't beat working with elite players. Some of the players we had that year were fantastic. I'd actually played one or two of them before as well, and Kieran Cunduff and, you know, Lukey Bourne, real good, solid characters. So for me, it was amazing. I loved being a coach, and it's definitely something I'll be going back into, you know. It's like you just can't stay away from it. I go to a lot of games and it's great working with players, elite players, top players, getting challenged in difficult situations every week. Is I'm really comfortable in that space and I really enjoy it.
It was a funny time in the club because obviously we'd had the typical Shelburne heartbreak the season before with the draw of the game and the penalties, and it was as probably Shelburne as you're going to get. Coming into the role, like Andrew has obviously come into the club, Dave O'Connor come into the club, was it always get us out of this division? Was that from day dot, was that the goal?
Yeah, it's amazing. I didn't know too much about it, but a lot of fans and supporters of the club made it really, really clear straight away. We've been in this fourth division way too long. And for me, Shelburne, I remember playing against them, huge club, they shouldn't be in that division. And that was my first thought straight away. But the fans quickly reminded you, listen, lads, you'll get one chance at this. If you don't get us up, someone else will. So it was really a high-pressure situation because, if I'm being honest, there was loads of talk around Shelbourne have the biggest budget and they don't get up. What are they doing? And there was times where I did feel the pressure. You know, you're like, jeez, got to get this club out. Yeah, we were made aware straight away by the supporters and everyone else that we want to be out of this division. And myself, as I mentioned earlier, I'm playing against the club. I'm thinking, well, we don't want to be in this fourth division with this big football club. And, you know, they deserve to be up in the top division competing every week. So thankfully we did that. But it wasn't all plain sailing. I remember when we first took over pre-season, we lost a couple of games and one or two games into the start of the season. But it does take time to grow. And I remember we played a couple of friendlies and we were just, you know, we were all over the place. We weren't connected. Yes, we had Kieran Kilduff, big players, and Yuki Bourne and Shane Farrell, but we weren't connected as a team. And I always remember we played Watford United in a pre-season friendly. Alan Reynolds was in charge with ex-Shells man Jim Crawford. He was involved in the club in some way. And I remember we played them. They beat us 3-1. And I thought we did decent in the game, considering it was a pre-season friendly and they were a Premier Division side. We created a lot of chances and I was thinking, well, we can actually do something with this team. So I picked up the phone to Jim. I said, Jim, how do you think we did? And Jim's knowledge on the game is second to none. He said to me, Jay, you were terrible. I was like, what? He said, yeah, our touches were really, really poor. I was devastated when I heard that. I said, you're joking. Because I really respect Jim's opinion on the game. And I said, Jim, point me in the right direction. Like, it's good to have this network in the game where you can kind of pick his brains a bit. And he says, Jay, we're wide open. Every time we attacked, you know, we kind of went through us and we had a chance on goal. So we got the video. We watched back over the game. He was spot on. And I was so annoyed by it. So from that day on, we kind of said, right, listen, in possession, we want to be as good as we can. We want to keep the ball, dominate teams. But let's be hard to beat as well. We can't be wide open because in football, you've got to take care of both sides of the game. And I felt we were just kind of focusing on one side of the game, which was attack. But when Jim pointed it out to me, it wasn't a nice answer. You know, I took it really, Jesus, fuming over hearing that. But he was spot on in the end. And I'm convinced from that conversation, we kind of tidy things up around and, you know, it's a results business and we did get out of fourth division because of the hard work we've done in training by recognising what we can do, our strengths and weaknesses.
It's funny you mentioned there about that you said, well, Jim kind of reckoned you had been wide open and when you look back on the video, you kind of bowed yourself Annie and saying that. If you think of the manager was a defender, the assistant manager was as good a centre half as there's been around the league. Do you think, is that something you maybe take your eye off the defending a little bit because you're so, I don't want to be thought of as being overly defensive because that's the way I play? No. Or was it just, were you just so focused on the ball?
Stephen, it really is. Like, you think, oh, he's a defender, they won't give me many goals. But as a coach, when you go into coaching, you try to become the best all-round coach you possibly can be. And that's the type of coach I want to be. I don't just want my teams to be negative and sit behind the ball and defend and because that's the type of position I play. No, you want to play the game in the right way. But I said it earlier on, you want to take care of both sides of the game, what you do when you have it, what you do when you don't have it. So for me and my football education as a coach, I wouldn't be just focusing on being, you know, defensive type of coaching. I can see how people will come to that. Morrow was kind of that type of sitting midfielder as well, you know, plugging gaps and stopping opposition playing, and he could play a bit himself. But no, definitely not. It's just we were young as well, starting off in a big club, new bunch of players. We had to find out what system suited us, what type of, we were learning about the players as well. You know, it's nice to be able to go out and play open, expansive football, which we all want to see. But if you don't have the players to do it, it's, you know, you could be asking for trouble if you ask them to go out and do that. And we didn't necessarily have all the players in the world to be able to do that. So we had to come up with something that suited us. And I think we did.
Yeah, you mentioned just earlier on there about pressure, and there was pressure from the start to get the club out of first division. And it was a bit of a roller coaster start. Yeah. I, like that first game of the season, I remember kind of going, oh Lord, I'm not going to be able to do this. Obviously, it's a famous enough one. We were 2-0 down after 15 minutes or something
long
like that.
Time, wasn't it?
It was Galway, away to Galway.
Oh, right, yeah.
And obviously then last 10-15 minutes, Murphy got one, I think. Kieran Kilduff got two, and it was mayhem in the stand, and it was just crazy. But then the following week, we were beaten 3-2 at home by Cabin Teely. So were you kind of, at that stage, do you think as a staff, were you kind of going, oh, here, like, it's going to be one of these seasons, it's going to be up and down and a little bit manic, or were you, had you enough confidence behind you at that stage to kind of say, no, look, let's keep doing what we're doing, we're going to be all right here?
I do know from being in football quite a long time that, you know, you got to look at the big picture in football. Like, there's no quick fix in football. I did fully believe that we would get it right because it's all about what you do on the training pitch. It reveals itself on a Friday night. So I knew, I believed in myself. I believed in players. Morrow believed in himself that we would eventually get there. And it's down to the oldest trick in the book, really hard work. We did that. The players worked extremely hard in training all the time. They committed to it. They really drove. They were a great bunch. They drove them on. I mean, we had great leaders in that group, like Lukey Bourne. I'm a big fan of Lukey's. Kieran Kilduff was outstanding for us. Ryan Brennan. We were very, very lucky. But we just knew, keep chipping away. And that's how we've kind of looked at the game all the time, big picture. But talk about pressure. I'd be one to kind of put myself under pressure. But then you have the added pressure of being with a good club and a big club like Shelbourne and want to do right by them. So yeah, we did feel it straight away. It wasn't nice when them goals went in down Galway. Immediately I think, oh, this is going to be a long, hard season. You know, it's a slog up and down. I remember we went down to Cove as well. We got beaten down there. It's a long old journey back from Cove. Yeah. You get beaten. You're kind of questioning everything. Where am I at here, you know?
Yeah, that defeat, actually, funny you mentioned that one, because I remember that I was at the game myself, and you mentioned, look, the journey home for support and things is a bit easier. You stick six cans of Heineken down your neck and it makes it an awful lot easier on the way home. But that defeat was during the run-in, it's the same one we're talking about, and that left it a little bit in limbo. Like, I think we were 5 points clear with four games to go. So do you kind of just reset at that stage and say, right, here we go, four cup finals, let's just brush off what we've done up to now and let's get at it? Or are you still leaning on maybe defeats you've had during the season and say, no, right, that kind of happened in these four games? Or like, what's the mentality going into those four games? Because Tolkien was like a pressure cooker any time we were there.
Yeah.
Same, we went down to Longford and got a huge win. But does the pressure just ramp up at that stage of the season? Like, you're four games away. You can probably smell it at that stage.
You know, and that was always a worry. I'll never forget it. I remember we played Bowes before that game. Went into the Longford one. And we were talking about tactics and how do we approach this game. And bear in mind, Bowes were a top team at the time, Premier Division. And basically, we were thinking, you got to think the next game. What's more important was the next game at Longford. If we'd went against Bowes and played open, expansive. I remember we tried to frustrate them an awful lot. They were able to bring on Danny Mandrew, top player. And he kind of buried us. I think he scored two screamers. We had a man sent off. But we were always conscious of, if we lost that game by 2-3 goals, what that would do to the mentality of the players, what would that do to the players' confidence? So we gave a good account of ourselves. We kind of made them really, really difficult, tried to make it a real derby and frustrate them for as long as we could. We got our nose in front, but as I mentioned, Danny Mandrew came on. But I remember after that game, the players took great confidence from that because Bowes were a top team and we'd just gone toe-to-toe and we were a relatively new team. So we went out there and you could sense it in the dressing room going into the Longford game. We're in a good place here. Where if we went out and, you know, tried to be, you know, expansive, going away to Daly Mount, naive, thinking we can go and play these off the park. We're a first division team at the time, new players. We could have got popped 2 or 3 and it would have been a different story going into that Longford game. But instead, as I mentioned, the players sensed it. I remember some of the discussions with some of the senior players after it. They were buzzing with the defense. I mean, remember Dino played in goal. He was outstanding in that game. Pulled out some fantastic saves.
Yeah, I remember that well.
And I was delighted for him because he went through some difficult moments throughout the season and he showed his worth. He was a top pro. And I mentioned the importance of having good characters like that in your team. He was another one. Even when he wasn't playing, he was pushing lads on. And, you know, you just can't get enough of those type of characters in your dressing room. So, yeah. And then from the Longford game on, it's about taking each game as it comes. I know that's like an old cliche, but from there, I remember as a player, when you lose games, you're always looking to your leader to see how he's reacting. And I suddenly found myself in that type of position then as well, where players were looking on at me. You know, you have to save face. You have to, you know, show them, listen, let's get back to the drawing board here. You can't panic, because if the players see you panicking, they'll feel a panic. So, yeah, it was about getting back to the drawing board, reminding players, let's get back at it. Let's get back to what we do, training hard, working hard. And, you know, I always feel if you do all them things and tick the right boxes, if you lose a game, at least you can say that I did my best and we didn't leave any stone unturned. And thankfully, we got over the line. And the fans, they were amazing at the end. They were like, you see, they just kept thanks. The amount of people that said thanks after the game, I've never heard of. I've been in winning dressing rooms before. People that said thanks, I was like, what are you all saying thanks for? It was like, for getting us out of this division. It was amazing. So, special club, good people involved, and I really do hope this club can go on and achieve good things, and I'm sure they will, because there's so many good people involved in the club. And you know, they've done well this year, and they've got to a cup final last year, so hopefully things can continue to improve.
Yeah, you've mentioned them a couple of times there, Luke Byrne. When you dealt with him, obviously he had become a centre half at that stage. I was definitely in the process of becoming a full blown centre half. Did you see Luke growing into what he's grown into within the club now? Like he's a club legend at this stage. That's a guarantee. Definitely from my point of view. Did you see that coming at that point?
You could always see it with Lukey, even when you played with him. I played with Lukey at Rovers. He was just that type of, I mentioned earlier on, characteristics and solid character. That's Lukey. You know, if he's not playing, he's doing everything right. And you see young players in the dressing room. I said it before when I was doing commentary for Shells, he's a real reference point in the dressing room. He'll show young lads, this is what you do when you're injured. This is what you do when you're playing. You know, he'd be quick to remind lads, keep your feet on the ground and concentrate on training well. That's Lukey's character for you. He's just an honest guy. You know, he was a joy to work with. You could just kind of set up. As a coach, you put on a training session. You know, when you're working with elite players, you put on a training session. It just flies. It takes off itself. You don't need to step in and give too many instructions, because you have people like Lukey and Dean Delaney and Kieran Kilduff who are just driving that, driving standards for you. So you're just like a facilitator, really. You're putting on drills, and those top pros will just take over. And I love when I see Lukey doing so well for the club, but it doesn't surprise me, because that's, you know, skill can take you so far, but I think the characteristics and traits that Lukey has will take you even further in the game. You know, dedication towards your craft and hunger to do well and do the right things consistently. Like, Lukey has been up and down. He's had a lot of injuries, but he keeps bouncing back from them. So that tells you about the type of character he is. And you know, he's been brilliant for Shelbourne, and he was brilliant for us, not only on the pitch, but off the pitch. He's like a real, you know, manager on the pitch.
We're nearly there. I'm not going to keep you much longer. And we appreciate you giving up your time to talk to us, Jay. But Friday the 13th, it was the best night of my life. I don't mind saying that. And I'd say there's an awful lot of Shells fans would say the same. It was obviously the draw of the game.
Yeah.
Look, we'll cut to the chase. What was the feeling as a staff, like when Larkin Fitz gets through, and what he was even doing up there in the first place? I have no clue. I've never been able to wrap my head around that. But when that ball hits the net, what's the emotion? What's the feeling?
It's more, you know, when you win something, it's more relief. It's definitely more of a relief than it's a relief. Thank God we did this. I remember Larkin going through. There's another great character. We were just blessed with him. I remember saying, what's he doing up there? We told him to put the brakes on. But he's gone. And that moment sums him up for me, the way he trained. You should have seen the way this guy trained. Talk about training the way you play. You'd have to wear shin pads because he's really, you know, as I said, the way you train reveals itself on a Friday night. And Larkin was like that. So what you seen him doing there, he was doing that in training all year. So kind of summed up, you trained the way you play. He was outstanding for us. But the emotion after that, you know, we know Johnny's a very famous character at the club, but he was in tears after it. Absolutely in tears. And I'm jumping around thinking, this is great, relief, happy days. But then you look at Johnny and you're like, geez, it means much more to him than it does to a lot of other people. So yeah, the emotion, just a relief. And we went in the dressing room and it was some of the lads, it was an important stage for some of the lads. Like, it was the first time some people had won things in the dressing room. You'd like to think that gives them an appetite and a taste to go on and do more. For me, just a relief to answer your question. It was amazing, but I keep going back. A lot of Shells fans are thanks. So it was great to have that relationship with a lot of the fans. People saying thanks. It was really, really nice of them. For me, it was, you know, you're just doing your job, but it meant a lot more to a lot of other people like Johnny, who's, you know, Shelbourne through and through, their fans. And I worked with your brother at the time. His phone was hopping. Paul, he's a Reds man. And he was like, thanks, Joe. Can't wait out of this graveyard, blah, blah, blah. It's amazing. Like, so, yeah, relief for me when you finally get over the line.
It was a mad, and some of the other players we've spoken to about Friday the 13th have said the same. They've never seen an outpour of emotion like it. It was just, like you're mentioning there, people thanking you. That would have been me. I was going around hugging everyone, saying thank you for getting us out of here. And that's what it was. It was just, oh, we'd had enough at that stage. I think it was just, it was gone. Yeah. It was gone way too far.
They kept reminding me of the Limerick game.
People
were talking about a Limerick game. Oh, we're just unlucky. It's not going to happen for us. And, you know, a lot of people mentioned that Limerick game. Whatever went on there, I have no idea.
Yeah, but that was 2008. We going into the last day of the season. So obviously we got demoted the end of 06. 07, Darren McKeady came in, done wonders. How he got a team onto the pitch is beyond me. And Darren at that stage had done enough. He was a legend at that stage just for keeping the place afloat and keeping it going. But the 08 season then kind of got to have a good proper crack at it. And going into the last game of the season, if we won, we got promoted. We were playing Limerick at home. And I think Dundalk were away to Kildare, I think it was. And they hopped off Kildare. So we knew quite well, needed to win the game. Yeah. Bisto Flood scored about halfway through the second half, I think. So it was looking good. I still remember I was up in the newsstand. I'd started to make my way down to the front to be able to run onto the pitch. And the 90-something minute, they scored the smelliest goal you'll ever see from a smelly corner. And literally, the last kick of the whole season, the promotion was gone. So that's what people would have been referencing. There's a lot of people probably on the ground now spinning around in circles with post-traumatic after me talking about it. But that's where it had come from. You know, it had come from 07, where it didn't even think there was going to be a team, to 08. And that hope that, right, we're back. It only took a year. That was shattered, and then we just couldn't for the life of us get out. We eventually did, and it ended up being a calamity. We were back down again. There was protest. There was just everything. It was just mad. I've never experienced emotion like it.
I remember I always come to play against Shelbourne. It was always difficult. I remember seeing them for years before I even became involved in the League of Ireland. You remember some players, Owen Hearty, Joe and Doe, Wezzo was not big players, top players, Jim Crawford. Some of the nights this club has had, and you know how they got back into the first division, I was like, Jesus, that probably brings more pressure on you as well, because you understand what the club is and how big it is and stuff like that. So yeah, again, relief again, just to finally say, and it's a real, it's the first medal I ever won as a coach, and it's one I'm really, really proud of, and I was always grateful for giving the opportunity to be involved with the club. So as I said, further down the line, I'd love to get back into coaching, and it's definitely something I will be doing.
Yeah, you obviously didn't stay on after 2019. Was that a football decision, or was it a work thing, or what was the story around not staying on?
I had a full-time job with the FBI at the time, and the club, they were going into the Premier Division, and that would have resulted in more hours, and you know, I have two young girls at home as well, so I had to get a balance right. The most important thing to me two young girls, so it was just difficult to juggle all three, you know. So the time was to step back a bit as well, and you know, I'm grateful to be able to be still working at the club, trying to help the club grow off the pitch. Shelbourne have been good to me, as I mentioned earlier on. So yeah, that was really it in a nutshell.
Well, Jay, you're doing great work for the club now off the pitch in the community. You should be very proud of that work you're doing. And for one last time, thank you very, very much for your input in 2019, because without 2019 and what went on after it, we're obviously not sitting here as a Premier Division club now. So, Jay, thanks a million for keeping up your reading. We really appreciate it.
Thanks very much for your time, Stephen. I appreciate it.
This podcast was brought to you by Off The Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com. Rest in the sunset. Way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one.